This may not be what you think it is. You might think you know what this is, but that might not be what this is. This is life, power, hope for tomorrow, change for today. This changes everything. It could be closer than you think. It might be right in front of you. Look closely. You don't want to miss this.
All right, welcome to part three of our series, This Is That. And as I always do at this point in the service, I just want to pay a special welcome to those who are joining us online. So glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, let's welcome all those that are with us online. I talked to someone a couple days ago in Texas and said, I'm with you every week. My wife was doing her job up the road and had a customer come across the counter, and she hadn't seen this lady in many years, and she said, I watch y'all every week. And so you just never know who all's watching. We're just so delighted and honored that you chose to stop by way of technology. And if you're in the area, come on in the house. We'd love to have you stop by if you can. So so excited about things that are happening, and especially some upcoming things that I do want to highlight. Want to give a shout out to our pastor Steve Guptill. Does a phenomenal job. Come on, everybody, amen, on our leading our small groups. And just want to encourage you, if you're interested in leading a small group, you can find out how to do that today right after service. Would love to have you join him and be a part of that. So we want to encourage you with that. Want to jump right into this installment today of this series. This series is based upon the fact that a lot of times people have a great misunderstanding about what the Bible says about certain things. In fact, they have oftentimes a misunderstanding of what the church, perhaps the church at times, has not been the greatest representation. Sometimes we have presented things in such a way that we have probably confused people. But the scripture really gives us clarity. And we want to look at some scriptures that really some people have been very oftentimes confused about. And we know that actually when the church began in a very powerful and demonstrative way. Some would say maybe a strange way. And there was a crowd that was there on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, today is the day of Pentecost, which that's not a scary term. That's actually, the word simply means 50. It's 50 days after Passover, after Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we know that really what Passover was all about, and that God would pass over our sins. And no longer were we facing the judgment seat. Now we have the mercy seat. Isn't that good news? And so we celebrate that today. And on this day, it was when the church was birthed. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and then God's purpose was really fulfilled in launching the church, and that was that 3,000 souls came to Christ. And by the way, that's still God's purpose for the church today, is that we are reaching His lost kids. And so that's what this thing is really all about. God's on a mission. Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He loves us. He wants relationship with us. The enemy tried to steal us away, but God steps in and says, no, they're mine, and there's a way out and a way to life. And so that's really the way the church began. But as it began, and because it began in such a powerful, demonstrative way, that crowd that was assembled there, many of them were very amazed and perplexed, and said, really asked the question, what does this all mean? And as they asked that question, you know, there were some that were very arm's length. And there's still that case today. Many don't understand what the church is all about, and so they're at arm's length. Or perhaps they even go a step further, and that is to make fun of something that they don't understand. And so in Acts, we're taking this as our foundational scripture. The crowd was amazed. They were perplexed. They said, what does this mean? They made fun of it. Some said they had too much wine. Peter stood up and said, no, this is not that. This is not what you think it is. This is something much different. And Peter stood up, raised his voice, and said to the Jews there and all who were there in Jerusalem at the time, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And that's what we're trying to do in this series. It's just to explain some things that perhaps had attached to it a lot of confusion. And so he said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's not this. This is that. This is something different. He says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is that. not that you thought it was, but this is that the prophet Joel spoke about many years before, that this was to come. This is what you've been praying for, waiting for. But when it came, you didn't recognize it, thought of something strange. You distanced yourself from it. You mocked it. And he said, but this is actually that. And that's the basis of how we're establishing this series on this statement where he said, this is that. So in week one, we talked about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit actually was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And there was a lot of confusion about that. We unpacked that for you in week one. Week two, we talked about praise and worship, what that really looks like from a biblical standpoint, how that really is supposed to look according to Scripture. And then next week, we're going to talk about another area that oftentimes is very misunderstood. It's the area of finances. Some would say prosperity. There's been a lot of just misrepresentation in this area, but the Bible is very clear about that. We're going to talk about that next week. Today, we're going to talk about the area of healing. And so as we look at this, I want us to see what the Bible biblically, what is biblically said about this topic. But I think there's some errors in this area of healing. And two errors, there's a kind of the pendulum will swing from one extreme to the other. One area, I would call it, and I'm going to give you a lot of extra stuff today. So if you like to take notes, you're going to be able to jot a bunch of stuff down. So I'm going to give you a lot of stuff that's not there in your message notes there in your worship guide, because I just want to feed you real good today. I want to encourage you with the Word and really feed you in some great scriptures today. But I believe that one of these areas or errors is what I would call confessionist, and that's a made-up word, okay? It's for those that just say, well, all you've got to do is just confess your healing. Just say it because your words have power. And I understand that our words, and there is a power in the power of confession, but we understand it's not our words, it's His words that have power. Can I get an amen right there? And there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, you just got to confess it, you know. Some would call it name it, claim it, you know, blab it, grab it, whatever. But, you know, where they just think if they just say it, that it's going to happen. There's only one problem with that. God is still sovereign. And we don't control God, okay? So He's still sovereign. He gets the last say. And so there's some that even take it to the extreme of saying, well, you know, if you're sick, you just don't have enough faith. Something's wrong with you. You just need to declare it. And so that's kind of one extreme. And I don't think that's really healthy perspective on healing. Another extreme goes to the other side of it, and that's a cessationist approach. And that is those that would just go to the other extreme and actually believe that perhaps, you know, miracles, yes, they happened in the Bible, but that's really not for today. That actually died out with the apostles, and so it ceases to be. There's no more healing for today. That doesn't happen. Only problem with that is God still heals. Because, you know, if He heals one or two, He's still healing. He hasn't stopped healing. And so, but He doesn't just heal one or two. He heals many. And I've been witness to it. You're witness to it. Come on, we know that God still heals today, right? God's still in the miracle working business. He has not closed up shop. The great physician has not closed up shop. So He still heals. So there's that extreme. But the rub comes in that we've all experienced that when we have prayed for someone and yet we prayed for the healing and yet we ended up burying people that we prayed for, right? And so I want to talk about what the Bible does say about this topic. And I want to take a scripture that's found in James chapter 5 that really addresses this very, very well. James says in chapter 5, is anyone sick among you or in trouble? Let them pray. Is any happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Look at the next verse. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil. And so he says, anoint them with oil. And in fact, at the end of this service, we're going to have an opportunity for those that are sick. And we're going to do what the scripture says, anoint them with oil. We're going to follow the scripture. And the oil, there's nothing magical about that. We're not going to go sling oil on everybody if you don't want oil on you. But if you would request that, we'll do that. And we'll just a dab will do. But what it nothing magical about it, but it represents the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith, and that's important, offered in faith will make the sick person well. So faith is involved in this. And can I just say right here, because we're going to talk a lot about faith. Now, we're talking about healing, but faith is very much connected to this. And faith is not just an instant. I want you to get this. Faith is a journey. Somewhere on your notes, write the word journey, because we'll be talking about this. Faith, you write the word faith is a journey. So he says that as you pray for them, that the sick person will be well. But then, and it says, the Lord will raise them up. But then it goes on to something else. He's talking about healing. But then he says, and the prayer of faith, prayer offered in faith will make the person, sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Then he says, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, here we are talking about healing, and he takes it into a much deeper area. So he's not talking about just body healing, but he's talking about an inner healing, something much deeper. And if we were and let me just keep going through that, go to the next verse there. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that word, again, that word, they're healed. If you look at the translation of that word, again, it's referring to something much deeper, an inner healing. Now, if we were dissecting this scripture, I see three observations that we need to know. Write this down. Number one, and that is that God still heals people. He still heals people. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you say, okay, if God still heals, he's still the same. Let's go to the children's hospital. Let's empty out the children's hospital, right? So why does he do that? Why is it for everyone? So we're going to talk about that. And here's what I think we need to understand about that. And that is that in Isaiah 55:8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So here's the deal. God doesn't see things how we see things. His ways, his perspective is much higher than ours. We see on a human, earthly level, he sees from a much higher perspective when it comes to this. And so as a Christian, I'm okay with waiting for an answer that maybe I might not even get until I get to heaven. And I've said this before here, y'all, and that is that when we get to heaven, I was sharing with that this in a conversation with somebody this week, that I don't think we're just going to hear harps and choirs singing the hallelujah chorus. I believe the greatest sound is going to be, oh, God, you really did know what you were doing. Oh, my goodness. This all makes sense now, because the Bible tells us that we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We don't see clearly, but one day is coming when we will understand and we will see clearly. I had to share with you my father-in-law, when he was going from this earth on to heaven, we were there in the hospital room with him in the Presbyterian Hospital. I'll never forget this moment as long as I live, because he was there and He had been kind of in the same state for a while, but all of a sudden something changed in his countenance. His eyes lit up. I mean, I've never seen his eyes look like this in my whole life, knowing him. And Kim, my wife, started exclaiming. She said, look at his eyes, look at his eyes, look at his eyes. And we fell to our feet, began to weep, and began to worship. And there was a presence came in that room that I cannot describe. I wish you would have been there. I really do. But what I saw in his eyes, you know, the eyes say it's a window, you know, and I could see that he saw something we couldn't see. And I tell you, what I saw that he was in his eyes was, oh, an amazement. I'm going to tell you, we're going to need a new body just to be able to take it in to understand it all. But see, that's in the next life when we get to heaven. We're going to understand it. In the meantime, the question then is, are we okay with not understanding everything in the meantime? And that's where faith comes in. That's why this thing is actually called faith. It's the walk of faith. It's contending for the faith. If we call it the Christian faith, it means that there's parts of it that we cannot understand. You say, well, Pastor, why is it that everybody doesn't get healed? I'm going to give you an answer. You can write this down. Ready? I don't know. Pretty profound, right? I mean, I don't know. But I'm okay with not knowing, because I know that there is a God that's bigger than I am that cannot fit in here. You wouldn't want to worship a God that could fit in this brain anyway. That's why he's God. That's what heaven's for. In the meantime, we trust him. As a child, children don't understand every decision a parent makes because they see on a child's level. We don't understand everything our Father is doing because we see on an earthly level. But there's coming a day when we're going to understand. There's a song we used to sing, we're going to understand it better by and by, right? And it's going to make sense then. So there's parts of it that we don't understand. Even in the hall of faith that we call the hall of faith, which is found in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all the great feats that were accomplished through faith. But then at the end of the chapter, read on, it says, and there were others. And this is how it describes the others. It said all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. So it wasn't that they didn't have faith. They were praying for something. They had faith for it. It said they had good faith. But it says, yet none of them received all that God had promised. And I love this. For God had something better in mind. They didn't receive it in this life. But God had something better laid up for them. He had something better in mind. See, we see through such temporary, limited vision. And we see things as we see them. But God works on a whole different level. So what do we say? Well, we just don't know if God's going to heal us. So we just don't. Well, I don't know if he's going to do that. Or I believe he's going to heal you, but I'm not sure if he's going to heal you. So we're not going to pray for you. No. We pray and we believe. And that's what we're supposed to do. But as we're praying and believing and we're standing through, believing and holding on to God, we're trusting him. So that if he doesn't answer the way that we think he does, or he doesn't answer in this life, but he chooses to answer in the next life, either way, we're going to trust him. Does that make sense? I described it this way to someone I spoke with, that it's a safety net. You know, you believe in God, but there's a safety net underneath that, so that when what you're believing for, you're trusting his hand, right? You want him to move. You're praying that his hand will move on your behalf. But when his hand isn't moving the way you think it should, you trust his face. You trust his character. So we not only seek his hand, we seek his faith. We not only seek what his works are, we seek who he is. We seek his heart to know him and to trust him. That's called relationship, right? And so we trust him. We believe in who he is. Isaiah 57, let me give you this one, found in Isaiah 57, verse 1 in the NLT. It says, good people pass away. So good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. No one seems to understand, look at this, that God is protecting them from the evil to come. So there's actually things that we don't see and we do not understand. Just a couple of weeks ago, my boys were on their way, my two sons on the way to an event with First Friday, a small group event up at Frank List Park. And my son just got him a new car. He's excited about that new car. He's coming down the road with that thing, with Tanner in the car with him. And a guy pulls out in front of him, and my son, in order to avoid him hitting him, the guy actually was looking the other way. He actually pulled mostly in my son's lane instead of his other lane. My son had to swerve on the left of him. I mean, momentarily, he was in England, y'all. I mean, he was driving on the wrong side of the road, quickly had to whip around this guy to keep from hitting him. Tanner about crawled up, from what I understand, in his brother's lap. I don't know. He said he was leaning over because it was on his side. And he called us, and his heart pounding and weak from the incident, and saying, Dad, we were up in Greensboro at a graduation for Femi Ann, and I got the text, and he said, I just about had a major accident. And I sat right there, and I thank God for looking out for him. And then the thought occurred to me, that's an incident that I know of that God intervened or that protected my kids. You know, I'm just believing that God protected them. And so you know, fortunately, he wasn't looking down at the radio at the time or whatever. You know, he was aware, and God had helped him to get around that. Well, and we thank God. We stop, we pause, we thank God. How many times does God protect us and we don't even know it? That we don't see it. We don't realize because we don't see. Well, the same thing with the things that we go through in this earth. We don't understand them, but yet God is protecting us. And it won't be until we get to heaven that we can say, oh my goodness, look how you are protecting me. Look how you are guiding my life. And so God, here's what we know. God heals, and yet sometimes he heals in a different way. But we pray and we believe in every case. We're going to continue to pray because that's what God calls us to do. In 2 Timothy, it says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. He can protect me and keep me from, totaling my new car, right, and killing myself. The Lord's going to rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly home. To him be glory forever and ever, amen. So you're saying, okay, Lord, so which is it? Are you going to rescue me? Are you going to bring me home? You're going to save me this life? And the answer is yes. He's going to do both, right? And God's going to heal us. You think about the dialogue with James. James is talking about healing, but yet he quickly moves right into a deeper area of healing. So it's not just body, but he's also talking about the healing of the soul, which leads me to this next thing I want you to write down. Number one, God still heals people. This is a second observation of this, and that is that God is more concerned about my soul. He's more concerned about my soul. You see, here's the fact of the matter. This body that I'm in is really not who I am. I live in this thing, but this is temporary. My life is more than this. My life is more than just what we see on this earth. It's temporary. The Bible says it's a mist. In light of eternity, it's just a mist. It's just a vapor. It's just very temporary. This body will one day return to dust. But the spirit, come on, everybody, is going to live forever. Right? In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is most important? Obviously, the eternal is what's most important. The disciples were really excited because they had been sent out by Jesus to heal the sick and to do the miraculous things that Jesus had commissioned them to do. And they came back amazed that even the spirits were subject to them. They were really rejoicing over that and celebrating that. And so Jesus responded to them that he said, hey, look, however, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So look at that. We're rejoicing over something here on this earth, and Jesus is pointing them to something eternal. See, oftentimes we are focused on the wrong thing. The wrong thing. We want God to heal now. We want what we're praying for in this very moment. But God has something else going on. This is what I wanted to see this morning. I was actually moved this morning. We were in prayer. And we have prayer cards, and they're on your worship guide. They're the bottom half of the connection card in that worship guide are prayer cards that we fill out. And we have them up here on Sunday mornings. We're praying over all these needs. We pray for these throughout the week. And we now have some larger cards for our kids. These are kids' prayer cards. I love these. Isn't this great? So they're a little bit bigger because their handwriting's a little bit bigger. So, and I like that because the older I get, anyway, that works. So, but I read one. It was beautiful from one of our kids in Crosspoint Kids. He said, for everyone, his prayer request was this, for everyone to not get sick and for God to heal people when they do get sick. I thought that was good. You know, and that's what we want. We just want God just heal them or just keep me from getting sick. You know, right now, I just need it right now. I need what I need on this earth. But then it may be that our focus is perhaps on the wrong thing. Another one said this. One little girl said this. My request is that I do not get distracted with things that I think seem cool, but they are not. I thought that was pretty good. But isn't that the truth that we get distracted with the temporary and the things, and while those things can be important, there's something much more important. And that's what I want us to see in this. So the greatest miracle, again, was that our names are written in heaven. So we're to pray for miracles. But the goal is this. Write this down. God wants me to grow in faith. And God can heal, and he does heal. But he's more concerned about our soul, and he wants us to grow in faith because there's something happening. See, we're focused on the miracle. God's focus is on something much deeper. There's a process that goes on in the meantime when we're praying for what we're praying for. And listen to this. If you don't understand this, this whole thing of walking this Christian thing out will actually drive you crazy. Because here's what will happen. You'll be more focused on results. You'll be more results focused. While God is more process focused. You hear that? I need to repeat that. So you'll be, if you're not careful, if you don't understand this, you'll be results focused. I just want the answer. Why doesn't God answer? While God is more focused on the process. Put it to you this way. We're concerned about what's happening to us. Get this. We're concerned about what's happening to us. But God is concerned about what's happening in us. And that's what's more important. So while we're going through the thing we're praying for, God is still at work, even when you think he's not answering. But something is going on the inside. And it's interesting how God, you know, God doesn't send sickness or send evil to us. But yet, God will work all things together for our good, and he'll use these things to work in us his will, right? When Kim, just recently, my wife went through surgery for cancer in her thyroid and had her thyroid removed. I want to tell you, something happened in that process. As I went through that process with her, I just got to tell you guys, something happened inside of me. Something changed for the good. Something changed inside of me. Because I think sometimes we just take a lot of things for granted. We're focused on the earthly. We're focused on the temporary. We're focused on getting what we want, you know, when we want it, how we want it. But when you come face to face with something that can just be extremely serious, you realize what's important and what's not important. There's a process. Something happens in the process. You also realize your total dependency upon God. You realize how precious he is, how precious life is, how precious it is to have those around you that love you and you care about them and they care about you. It changes you on the inside. This thing of healing is not always what you think it is. Oh, this is that. Right? This is not that thing that is just, I just want my miracle. Does God heal or does he not heal? Why does he heal? And we get all hung up on that. Listen, this is more than that. It's a faith journey. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. When do you seek God the most? When you have a lot of answers and everything's going your way, or when you have a lot of need? Well, duh, it's when you have a lot of need. You're saying, God, I need you. I need your help. And it's interesting because God uses that thing to draw us into a close relationship with him. It's in that place that you're going to pray a lot. It's in that place that you're going to spend time with him. It's in that place that you're going to get intimate with God. It's in that place where you're going to get real with God. So oftentimes things that come our way, it's not just about getting the answer to that thing and getting beyond it. But in the midst of that, it's understanding who he is. Israel, when they were brought out of Egypt and out of bondage, as they traveled through the wilderness there were many times they experienced some things and had some challenges, but then God would reveal in the midst of that who he was, and because of that, then they would attach a name to him because they would ascribe to him who he was. God, you're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our banner over us. And the list goes on. You're our provider. They found out that he was there in the midst of that, but had they not gone through that, they wouldn't have discovered those things about God. They just thought he was some God way up there. But when you go through something, you'll find out he's a God who's close. and he's a God who's real. And so, the very next verses of James, that he's talking again about healing, but he's linking this to faith, and he's linking this healing to more than just body, but to spirit. He goes on and says this. In verse 17, he says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he says, and again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And to understand what he's talking about there, he's referring to something that is recorded over in 1 Kings in the Old Testament, in verse 17. And so let me break that out for you. And so it says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. And so here's what I want us to understand about this. And that is that Elijah had gotten a word from God that you're going to get Ahab to turn from his wicked ways if it doesn't rain. And so he got a word from God. Can I just say that you can't grow in this faith journey without God's word coming on the inside of you and speaking to you and opening up inside of you and understanding what God is saying. So write this down. Faith begins with a word from God. Faith begins with a word from God. And Romans 19 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 33, the words I have spoken, or verse 63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And that word spirit is the word pneuma. It means wind. It's powerful. It speaks life to us, and the word comes alive to us. That's how faith is established, through the word of God. Not our opinion, but through the word of God. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it's not just something. It's not just something for our body. It gets inside of us. It changes you on the inside. If you'll read your Bible and get the word in you, it will work on the inside of you. It is life. Amen? It's spirit and it's life. And so look back at the story. When it was time to rain, Elijah then prayed. Okay, now that the time had expired and the drought had ended, Elijah began to pray for rain again. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43, he said, go and look towards the sea, because he'd been praying for rain. And he told his servant to go look and see if you see anything. And he went up to look, see if he saw any rain clouds coming. And he looked and said, there is nothing there. How many have ever prayed and you came back and said, there's just nothing. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting an answer to my prayer. And he said, go. And then he said, seven times Elijah said, go back. And I just want you to underline that. Look at that. Go back. So when you've done all that you know to do, you go back. You get in his presence. You stay close to God. When you don't get the results when you want them and how you want them, you still trust God. You're still believing. You're still standing on his word, believing that he will answer that thing you need him to answer. And I believe that God likes it when we go back to him, when we stay close to him. We keep trusting him. We're not giving up on him. It goes on to say that the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Just a little, that's probably insignificant, doesn't mean anything. So Elijah said, no, that's God answering prayer. He held on to it. And he said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And so he said, go on and run because, man, something miraculous is about to happen. And so no matter what it looked like, when there was nothing going on, Elijah believed God. He kept going back, kept sending his servant back, kept praying and believing. Write this down. Faith continues regardless of what I see. When I see nothing, I'm still going to have faith. That's what faith is for. Faith is not when you've got all the answers. Faith is when you've got all the questions and when things aren't going the right way. So faith continues regardless of what I see. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Seeing is believing. No, it's believing is seeing. Amen? So the question then is, what do I do in the meantime? Let me give you an encouraging scripture that's found in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord." I love that. No matter when it doesn't even come in the way that we expect or when or if it does at all in our lifetime, we don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance. Don't you love those words? Patient endurance. I don't want to be patient. I want it now. I want my answer. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live, look at this, by faith. By faith. And so now let's look at how this story turns out. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 45 and 46, it says, "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel." And it says, "The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." Now get this, Ahab was in a chariot, and that was moving. In other words, it was impossible for him to outrun a horse. Come on, y'all know that's impossible. I mean, even Bolt, you know the guy Bolt in the Olympics, he's not going to outrun a horse. I'm just saying. It's impossible. But God made it possible. I want us to get a hold of this. God did such a miracle that it went beyond. And guess what? It always does. He doesn't just do enough. He does more than enough. You say, "Well, I haven't seen that yet." You haven't seen it all yet. Amen. We haven't seen it all yet. Come on. There's an eternity waiting for us. God always goes beyond. So write this down. Faith goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. Goes from a small beginning to a grand finale. It starts in a small beginning. And we don't want to think about the beginning. We want an end result. There's two kinds of people. There's journey people, and then there's destination people. Destination people is the ones that when you go on vacation, look, I don't want to see everything on the way. I just want to get there. I'm not concerned about all the historical landmarks along the way. I don't care. I just want to see how fast I can get to my destination. I want the end result. I got a place in mind. I got a hotel waiting on me. I want to get there, right? How many destination people we got? The only problem is God's not a destination guy. Although there's a destination waiting for us, and God has a destination prepared for us, but he's journey. He's a journey person. He'll get you there, but he's going to take you on a journey in the process, and he's going to develop faith in you. He's going to grow you in the process. Something's going to happen, not just externally, and you have a good time on the outside when you get there. No, something's going to happen on the inside while he's getting you there. Zechariah 4 and 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Now, look at that. We like to see the work end. You know, we want to see it done. We want to see it accomplished. But it says the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. 2 Corinthians, Paul had something he was praying for, wrestling with, couldn't seem to get an answer for it, couldn't get freed from it. And he says, "Three times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad." So Paul's understanding this. He says, "Wait a minute. So it's not just about me getting my answer. You're doing something inside of me. Paul, while you're crying out to me for that thing, I'm drawing you close in a relationship to me through that thing, Paul, so that you can be used of me in this, Paul. And so, okay, so that's how it works. So now I'm glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Right? Paul, my power works best when you're over there crying out for God to do something in your life. That's when things are working inside of you. So I want to give you this point. Write this down. And that is, the process is the point. That's your point. The process is the point. So I would encourage you today, let God work in you. Not just, well, I'll be happy when I get this resolved. I'll be happy when I get this answer. If I could just get this done and get that done. Guess what? First of all, in this life, we're never going to have it all. We're never going to have it all together. You'll never have your ducks in a row. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be accomplished and do well and excel, etc. But I'm just saying that this life isn't the catch-all for everything. This is not where every prayer is answered. God has prepared something for us much beyond even this life. But in the meantime, what this life is for is that we come to know who He is, that we make decisions in this life, that we let God work in us. Yes, does He still do miracles today? Yes, He still does miracles. But He's also doing a miracle inside of us. And the greatest miracle that He can do is what He's done inside of us, that thing that's forever. The greatest miracle is a miracle of salvation. The greatest miracle is that God sent His Son because He loved us so much that He sent Him to die on a cross for us to pay a debt for us so we wouldn't have to pay that debt, so that we could be set free, so that we could be called the children of God, so that we could live with Him forever. That's the greatest miracle ever. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to invite you today. It may be that many of you here today need a healing. It may be physical. It may be financial. It may be emotional. It may be relational. But the greatest healing is the healing of the heart. And where we allow God's love to come in and heal us on the inside, we receive His forgiveness. And He comes in and He makes us whole, makes us well, makes us clean. There's nothing like it in the world. And one of my greatest pleasures is being able to lead people to discover that. And then hear their story of how amazed they are that the burden has lifted and everything's changed and never knew life could be this way. See, what's happened is sometimes our past, our circumstances, whatever that may be, is blinding us from really understanding the life that God intends us to enjoy. Today, if you're here or you're watching online, I like the honor of leading you in that opportunity to discover His love and invite Him inside of you, where He'll come in and do a healing on the inside. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need something restored on the inside. My greatest need is something needs to be fixed. Something's not working on the inside. And I'm ready to allow Him to come and be my healer today. I want to just lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand and come to the front and embarrass you, but I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. But right where you're sitting, if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that, I need a healing. Somewhere in my life, I need a healing. You just slip up a hand. I just want to pray for you. Lead you in a prayer. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Hands going up. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join us. Pray along with us. All you got to do is mean the words. I'm just going to help you with them, okay? Let's pray. I'd like everybody to pray just for support for those that need to pray it. Just pray something like this. God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for giving Your Son for me. Thank You, Jesus, that when You died for me, You provided for my healing. Thank You for healing my heart and for healing my relationship with You. Forgive me for going my own way. I accept You I accept your love. I accept your healing power in my life. Come in and make me brand new. Make me a brand new person on the inside. Today I give you my life. Come on, just say that. I give you my life. I surrender to you. I invite you to come in. Be the Lord of my life. With all my heart, I will serve you as you help me. God, thank you for every person who needed to pray that and pray that prayer today. And I pray over them. I bless them, God. And I pray for healing. I pray, God, that you would guide them in newness of life, one day, one step at a time, that they'll follow you, to discover the true meaning, the true joy, the true peace that you've always intended them to enjoy and experience. Thank you for the intimacy that we can have with you day by day, that we're never alone. You're with us. You love us. You care for us. You've come to put your arms around us and to love us, God. You did that through your Son, Jesus. Thank you for that today, God. We worship you today. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's celebrate these decisions that are made today. Come on, everybody. Thank God for healing, the greatest healing. Amen.